Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Graphic Quick News. This is the 10th episode of season 5 of my podcast. You guys, we're done with season 5. We are done with the final season. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. This podcast has been going strong since 2021, and I hope that we have laughed and loved and shared so many great things. I hope you'll remember me. This final episode is always done differently. Instead of answering letters and giving advice, my fans get to ask me questions about my personal life or just topics. So let's get started. The first question is, Jessica, what is your biggest life regret so far? My biggest life regret. I'm the type of person where I don't have many regrets in life. I feel like whatever happened, whether they're mistakes, and I don't really believe in mistakes either. I believe that mistakes are actually redirections and rejection is just redirection. But if I had to pick a regret, I think it would be trusting the wrong people in my life. I have had a lot of people in my life where I have given them the benefit of the doubt. I've given them my trust. I've given them my time. And you guys know how I am about time. That's one of my most valuable things. And they took that for granted. So that would be one of my regrets, is that I wish that I could recognize those signs earlier so that way I can set strong boundaries. That was a good one. The next question is, what is something you're really bad at? Ooh, do we got time? I mean, if we got time, baby. I'm bad at boiling water, bad at cooking rice. No. I'm bad at quite a lot of stuff. I know that it doesn't seem like it when you're looking at my Twitter, my Instagram. You're like, oh, she's gorgeous and she can cook and she can do all these crazy sex tricks. But the truth of the matter is, I am an awful stripper. I get super nervous when I speak in public. I am really bad at lying. I am one of the worst liars you'll ever meet. And people think it's funny because of my chosen profession where, you know, you kind of have to be suave and charismatic. And I am, but I don't lie. I'm a pretty honest person. So no, yeah, I'm bad at a lot of stuff. Thanks so much. Our third question is, what's the quickest way someone can lose your trust? The quickest way that someone can lose my trust, there's two things. Your first impression, how I view you that first time we meet. And I always tell people you only get one chance to make a good first impression. And once you blow that with me, you have completely lost my trust and you've lost just my attention. Another thing is lying. If it's unnecessary lying, or if it's just lying in general, I'm a pretty mellow, go with the flow type of girl. So like, if you were like, hey, I murdered someone in my basement, I'd be like, well, I'm sure they had it coming and maybe we don't go to your house. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that type of person. Like, I enjoy honesty because, again, I just told you I'm a bad liar. So it's nice to meet people in an honest space so that you can build a real relationship. So once I find out that you're a liar, that you are deceptive, especially to me, towards the person who you don't have to do all of that with, yeah, you've completely lost my trust and you might as well move around. The fourth question, how do you feel about the sex wars, men versus women? You know, I've been watching this on the sidelines and I don't really think it's a war. I think both men and women have to have a real conversation. And I don't think we're doing that. I think we're just saying however we feel. Like, oh, men are from Mars. Oh, women are from Venus. But we're not actually sitting down and saying, you know, the behaviors of these types have really affected and hurt us. And I don't think the men are actually listening to that because they're like, well, it's not me. And my whole point with the men is, not every man can say it's not me, because then that means that somebody's lying and all these women aren't lying. And then with women, generalizing a man, not all men are bad, right? But men are bad. Just like not all women are gold diggers, but women are gold diggers. I think it's It's about a time where women want to be really independent, and they are tired of having to carry shit on their back. They're tired of faking the funk, because women are taught that we have to fake the funk. If your husband's not funny, act like he is. If he's not the most handsome, you still have to act like he is. But when we put the shoe on the other foot, if your wife isn't funny, men, you're not funny. If she's not the prettiest, well, you ain't the prettiest. So I think it's the fact that women have been giving men so much grace that they are tired of doing it. And I think men need to learn how to give grace. I think that that is the best answer that I could possibly give for that. Number 5, how do you feel about women not wanting to date or have children? Well, I did see a study where it's not just American women who are not wanting children. It's also Asia. They're having a problem with that, as well as Europe. And when you look at the climate, the political climate, the social climate, you look at all these horrific trends where men are impregnating women to trap them because they're intimidated by them and just doing all this weird stuff, I can't blame them. It has been very hard to be a single mother, even in the 80s and the 90s. And even then you had a stigma like, oh, she wasn't shit because she got these babies by herself. Instead of us saying, I commend this woman for doing this on her own. But now it is, prices have skyrocketed. So to even have a child now, you've got to win the lottery at least twice to take care of the kid. And then the second jackpot is just for you to live day to day. So it's that as well. And then on top of that, a lot of women are noticing that the men don't want to do shared labor when it comes to the kid. They want the wife to bear this child, and I don't think people realize labor is a traumatic experience for your body. It can cause you to go into shock. It can cause fevers. It can cause you to die. It can cause blood clots, all these things. And then they only let you stay in the hospital for like 48 hours. Then they kick you out of the hospital. And then you got to go home and do whatever it is your husband wants you to do, right? With stitches, new baby. It's a lot of emotional, physical work. And then on top of that, it takes a woman at least a year to a year and a half to feel like herself again. And then on top of that, you have somebody who doesn't want to help you. That's the number one fear for women right now, is that financially it's not feasible, and relationship wise it's not feasible, because there are no men who are willing to actually step up and be into this shared labor. We all say we want somebody to do 50-50, but what we're really saying is we want the money 50-50, right? We're not talking about the chores. We're not talking about the shared labor. And that's the issue that most women are having. I think that it is a smart idea. I think if men want women to have more babies, then they need to educate themselves more on why women are not having babies and what they can do to make women feel more comfortable about doing so. Thanks so much for that question. The 6th question is, are you single and why? That is a good question. No, I'm single. And why? I am single because I feel that at this point in my life, I need to focus on my healing, my journey, and my joy. And unfortunately, when you are with somebody, you are not able to do that. You're not able to solely focus on your bag, your emotions, and your joy. Especially as an empathetic woman that I am, I always want to make sure that my partner is good. And if there's anything I can do for my partner, I want to do that. But at this stage in my life, I need to treat myself like I would treat my partner. So that's what I'm doing. I'm spoiling me. I'm loving on me. I'm encouraging me. And all that effort that I would put into a man or a woman, I'm putting that into myself. And I've got to say, it's an amazing feeling to have my own back and to feel validated. So eventually, I'm sure that I will date again and I will be okay with that. But at this stage in the game of my life, that's not on the table for me. And I'm okay with that. And I think a lot of people need to be okay with that. I think a lot of us need to stop dating man to man, woman to woman, and just be single for a while. Because I don't think people realize how much of yourself you lose when you get into a relationship, because we've been taught that in order for this relationship to work, we have to dumb ourselves down, or we have to be exactly alike, and let's dress up together, and let's do this together, together, together. There's a lot of togetherness, but if you are not a person who has healed those wounds to make the peace when you are together, those relationships aren't going to work. They're just not. And so that's something that I feel like everybody should be thinking about. Every single person needs to really do the healing and the work, so that way when they do come together with somebody that they feel would be a great partner, they're able to be a great partner. Because relationships, all I always hear they're 50-50, but they're not. They're 100-100. You have to be present 100% of the time, and you need to give 100% of your effort. And that's how you make a great relationship. And that's what I'm waiting on. The seventh question is, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self? Ooh. The advice that I would give my 20-year-old self is to keep going, to be strong, and don't ever let anybody steal your shine. And the reason people treat you badly is because they see greatness in you and they are intimidated. Baby, they intimidated by that shit. You a boss dog, honey. That is what I would say to my 20-year-old self. I would tell her to walk in her confidence, her head held high, and to continue to be the great person that she is. And that the people who have mistreated her, their karma will always be sweet. And that she doesn't need to worry about anything other than taking care of herself and the people that she knows love her. Yeah, that's what I'd say. Good question. Question 8, do you often give people second chances? Ha, no, I do not. I usually tell people I'm not a dog shelter. I don't give second chances. And for some of you, you're going to notice that was a nod to 102 Dalmatians, where Cruella, you know, she is no longer Cruella DeVille. She's just Ella. And she decides to show them that she's rehabilitated by opening a puppy shelter. And the puppy shelter is called Second Chances. But shit go bad and Cruella turns into Cruella. And yeah. So the movie is kind of a metaphor for my life, where you give somebody a second chance and they pretend that they're doing it. You know, they go through the motions. You're like, oh my gosh, they're doing it. But at the end of the day, they really show you who they are. And that's been a theme in my life, is when people show me who they are that first time, you don't get to tell me who you are the second time. I already saw it. I'm good. You can move on. I think a lot of people feel like when you don't give someone a second chance, you automatically hate them. You're out to get them. And the truth of the matter is, that's not true. If I'm not giving you a second chance, that means that's a boundary that you have crossed. And you may want to reevaluate that for yourself. I know it was a boundary because I didn't give you a second chance, right? So I think that's where we're at, is people need to really work on their boundaries and work on crossing other people's boundaries. Sometimes it's not about, oh, I hate you. It's about, I'm not letting you do that to me, and I'm not going to give you another chance to do it to me, right? So no, I don't, I'm not a second chance type of girl. Question number 9, what do you think happens to us after we die? Ooh. What do I think happens to us after we die? I'm pretty spiritual, and with spirituality comes some science, because I think if you are a spiritual person and you're into science, some of those theories overlap. And one theory that overlaps constantly is that energy never dies, it changes forms. And I've heard that this body is just a mechanism for us to be here on Earth. And once we are done, we get to roam the universe or go back to our source. So that's what I truly believe. I believe that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And every experience we have is to get us closer to helping others. When we get into the spirit realm and we have to help other people, who may not be in that realm, and they may not have had those experiences. So that's how I believe we are able to work with the universe, and the universe is able to work with us. The 10th question, what do you think makes someone a good person? This one is going to be a hard question to answer, because a lot of you are going to say, well, what makes someone a good person is the deeds that we see them do. Like Marky Mark, right now he's doing the Passion of the Christ. He's got the Jesus movie out, and he's professing his undying faith to God, and he has changed over a new leaf. But we know for a fact that he has been very racist, he's been very abusive, and his behavior has not shown me that he is a good person, right? And I know you guys can say, well, you know, we forgive, but the Bible says that we are to do our good deeds in private so that God may bless us in public. And so when you are constantly in public showing people your praise, your faith, I have to question that. A good person to me is someone who does things not for gain, not for ego, not for sympathy, but because it's the right thing to do at the right time, and it was put upon their heart to do it. I do not consider myself a good person, but other people do, because I feel like there is so much more that I could do. Yes, I do volunteer at shelters. Yes, I have given some really great advice to some up and coming adult film stars. I've given advice to some actors as well, but I have made sure that I kept that to myself, right? So I have made sure that when the pandemic hit, I made masks for the hospitals and I sent those out. Even with my bakery right now, I make sure that whatever I don't sell, I give to the homeless. I'm not doing that. I don't do those things so that I can tell you that I'm doing it. I do those things because they are needed. People at the veterans kitchen that I work at when I volunteer, those people really need to see a smiling face. They do. They need it. The food that I give to the homeless, I know that they're hungry. And I know that it would be a shame if I threw that out. That's why I do it. I don't do it because somebody's going to take a picture. Somebody's going to Google this and they're going to say, oh my God, Jessica Gravitt is the best. I do it because it is put upon my heart to make the world a better place. And that is how I feel makes you a good person, is when you do things because it's something that's put upon your heart. It's not, you're not doing it for clout, you're not doing it for the likes, you're not doing it for TikTok, you're doing it because it's the right thing to do. The 11th question is, what are you most grateful for in life? I would say I am most grateful for just the little things. I'm grateful for waking up. I'm grateful for being able to use my voice. I'm grateful for being able to be independent in my life, to drive on my own, to cook, to clean, just the little things. I'm grateful when I see a rainbow in the sky. I'm grateful when I hear encouraging words from other people. I'm just grateful. I feel like life is, what did Jack Black say about the rocking person? Life is a sweet drink that you got to drink down smooth. You know, like that's the vibe, right? Like, I feel like that is the truth. Like, you have to drink in life, even the bad. I'm so thankful for that, because if I didn't have that bad, how would I know I got good? That's, I've always been like this. I've always felt like life is worth living, and whether you're down or whether you're up, that's life. Life is like a wheel. One day you're going to be up, so enjoy it while you're up, and one day you're going to be down, so be grateful for those downs and prepare while you're in those downs, so when you get up, you know exactly what you need to do, right? That's just me. The last question is, where do you go for fresh inspiration? Where do I go for fresh inspiration? My mind is constantly thinking, and I wish I could shut it off sometimes, but sometimes I don't. I usually go to my family and within myself for my inspiration. I find that I have a vivid imagination, and it has worked wonders. That is probably why I have published so many great erotica books, is because my imagination is vivid. My inspiration is always based on a need for people, like this podcast. It happened a little bit before the pandemic, but when it happened, I had made a promise because people felt lonely. People felt like, what am I going to do? I'm stuck at my house. And I just felt a need to comfort my fans and comfort people who may not have ever heard of me, but I just wanted them to have a comforting voice throughout all of that. A lot of my inspiration, like I said, it's just me realizing that maybe someone needs this. And even if it's one person, I'm okay with that. But inspiration for me, it's just being grounded, being focused, and looking within yourself and seeing what motivates you, what inspires you, and then going from there. And that's been a great, great, great help for me. It's opened so many doors and given me so many different opportunities. So no, always live by your inspiration. Don't ever copy someone else, because you will not be able to repeat those results. But if you find your own inspiration and you bring it out, you flourish it, you treat it like a baby, you protect it like a baby, it will be a blessing. It's true. Very true. Thanks so much for the question. All right, Team Grab It, that is all the time we have. I want to thank each and every one of you for hanging out and being a part of Team Grab It. I guess I'll see you on the flip side. And remember, be good or be good at it. Bye.